This is David Williams at the Qualcomm Connected Health Conference in San Diego. I'm speaking to Dr. Randy Moore. He is president of Mercy Virtual. Randy, this is a technology conference. There's been some discussion about payment and reimbursement and return on investment, but you came out right there and said, actually, even ROI isn't good enough. You really have to talk about cash flow. Can you say more about that?
With all the headwinds that our providers and other people in the healthcare system are facing, which is basically a tightening of reimbursement, while they're trying to innovate and do new things, budget's very, very, very tight. And so I've just had experience over time that as I try to sell anything, no matter how good it is in quality, if it's got to require a new budgeted investment, it's going to take a lot of time to get in place. And it's going to be competing against a lot of other factors. So why coming into the concept of cash flow is if you can make something work to where you're improving the cash flow of somebody's budget today, then if it's real, it becomes a no-brainer, if you will. So long-term is very important, but short-term, getting short-term wins, getting something introduced so that you can actually see something that's working that you know you can take to scale. If I can make a cash flow, I've got to win.
You showed a very compelling video that showed a patient that was at home and had type 2 diabetes and had sepsis and ended up with a lot of good things happening to her over time. And I wonder if you can comment on sort of how much that is vision versus how much is really going on today. I'll focus on one particular area, which seems like an obvious one, but where I haven't actually seen this happen in hospitals I've been involved with, which was the concept of the warm handoff to the ER. So she was in touch with her care team before coming in. She came into the ER, and it was really a warm handoff. They were expecting her. And how real is that today?
The continuum that comes from the outpatient to the ED and beyond is real today within Mercy, but more limited and not as enabled by technology as it will be very soon. So again, our nurse on call team managers can be coordinating and follow up with a patient and do that right into the emergency room. What we don't have today that we will very soon, as in the next weeks to months, is patients who will be connected on devices with video and being much more prospectively monitored and that coordinated handoff right into the ED. You heard me also speak, though it wasn't just the ED. Right now, we're doing the coordinated handoff from the intensive care unit to the floor. We're starting a project. We're in final, in the grass and weeds detail of the taking the same patient out of the hospital early and creating that complete continuum into the home with also that same warm handoff, not just with the team that will be managing there, but then also the coordinated, not just handoff, but cooperation with the primary care physician, whose schedule may be booked for the next 3 to 4 weeks, and this person may have need to be seen 3, 4, 5 times that will have a separate team managing, but in collaboration with primary care. So if you think about what we're doing is we're trying to, right now, today, create a continuum from the time we can identify a high-risk person and all the way through then we've identified that person much higher needs, which is a great way to grow a virtual program, eventually touch a lot of people.
Many people in the conference, including Dr. Tuckson, have been fairly sanguine about these new value-based models. I heard Dr. Malt say risk-based entities, grouping together ACOs and so on. And you said at least the hospital-based ACOs you saw as likely to fail, and I think for financial reasons. Could you say a little bit more about what your view is on the viability of the ACO model?
I'm concerned about hospital-based ACOs because I think the reality does not fit with what the intention is. So when you read it from a high intention is, let's take whatever money you can save by getting a better, more effective outcome, and we'll share that 50-50. In the hospital system, assuming it's your patient, which most of the time it is, if that patient were to be hospitalized today, then you would receive your DRG payment. So let's say a heart failure patient comes in and you receive a $10,000 payment. If we were to avoid that, the first chunk of that's going to stay with Medicare, whoever, and then we have the opportunity. Let's say in a great world, we might get a $4,000 bonus out of that. But to get that $4,000 bonus, we had to invest and spend money to keep that person out of the hospital in the first place. And that might be $250, $500 a month over several months. So that can quickly erode the $4,000. But besides that is we would have received roughly $5,000 or $6,000 a cash contribution from that hospitalization if the person had been hospitalized. So even in the best world, we have a negative financial consequence. So we didn't split the gain. Over 100% of the gain went to the payer, and we were losing money. Now, how do we change that? Instead of a shared gain with a limited perspective, let's look at re-engineering the system together and reapplying resources through virtual and outpatient care to keep somebody at home. That's the new cost basis that we need to be paid for delivering that. Then let's take the savings of what's left from there versus what would have occurred, and let's split that 50-50. And when I do those calculations across many chronic diseases, what you really need is about an 80-20 split of quote-unquote the money saved to make the health system even reasonably whole. Without that, and hospital systems do impact the majority of care in this, I think there's going to be a lot of failure and people aren't going to quite know why.
You talked about radically reducing length of stay and overall use of hospitals for given patients and said something about increasing market share in order to, you know, keep your hospitals viable. It relates to your prior points about ACOs. Does your business model depend on putting your competitors out of business?
Our business model is geared towards getting the highest, best outcome at the lowest cost. As opposed to putting our competitors out of business, you know, especially in a nonprofit faith-based system, we don't think that way. But we do think in terms of that we have the capability of putting more resources to deliver a better outcome and a better quality of life for people. And we think a natural consequence is if our competitors in the marketplace do not do the same thing, that people will naturally migrate there. A broader question is, do we need all the hospitals in the world we have today? And I think the answer is clearly no. I think if somebody's really an entrepreneur, they'll go out to the desert in Phoenix and they'll look at where they have all those jets parked, where the airline industry took capacity out. Somebody's going to figure out how to move hospitals there. And so whether we repurpose our facilities, which we also are looking at doing, that we'll put more virtual care in our current hospitals. We have to figure out other ways to get a return on what we've invested in from a facility standpoint. Part of it may be more people being served.
Dr. Randy Moore, president of Mercy Virtual here at the Qualcomm Life Connect 2015 conference in San Diego. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity.